You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's Football Sunday here on WEEI. Christian Arkin, Ted Johnson, Chris Scheim, and Megan Ottolini here with you for the final hour of the program before we get to kickoff as the Patriots and the Dolphins down in Miami. Patriots are going to be in their home blues if you're going to be watching the game. Dolphins are going to be in all white. I don't know how else you'd take in football. Some people may just listen to the whole game. I think most people watch it. Either way, that's what's going on. And also, flying around the Hard Rock Stadium down there in Miami, someone rented a plane with one of those little messages on the back, and the message is fire Greer and fire McDaniel. Ooh. So it is a team in turmoil down there. Probably a lot of angry fans, I would imagine, getting riled up by the plane flying all around. It can't be good for the coach and the GM to be seeing either. It's a very important game for these Dolphins. Tommy said it was more important for them than it is for the Patriots. I think in some ways that's true. Patriots don't have a coach who's on the hot seat like that, and not at this point in the season anyway, in his first season, but should be an interesting one here as the Patriots often struggle when they play down in Miami. What you just heard was Mike Vrabel on Wednesday answering questions about Christian Gonzalez, saying he would not be out on the field, and I think that's when everyone realized, all right, he's not going to be playing this weekend then, because if you're not out there practicing by Wednesday, then you're generally not going to be there, especially if you've been out for over a month. So with Gonzalez still out, and that's still potentially like an issue that we're not sure when it's going to get resolved. When they traded, or not traded, but when they cut that defensive back last week, we all sort of thought, DJ James is out. That means they're clearing room for Christian Gonzalez.
That's what I thought.
Not the case. So this is still a problem, and he's out today, as is Keon White. We gave you the inactives, but let's just talk a little bit here about Gonzalez. We all still consider him the best player on this team, right?
Yep. Without a question.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, in that case.
Having said that, I would say the sooner he gets out there, the better. You know, this is I will say this, though. People say, you know, it's 5-6 weeks. You know, really bad hamstrings can take a couple months. And yeah, we had Mike Giardi on the WEI Afternoons on Friday, and he suggested that he thinks there was a setback. I'll be honest, that's what happens with hamstrings. You're trying to, as you're coming back, you're trying to kind of get up to that point to where you don't pull it, but that you're getting at least some work in so that you stress it out enough that there's progress until the next time you run and test it out. So he might have had a setback. It sounds like
did. Giardi saying that, by the way, if we want to.
Yeah, let's hear Mike Giardi. This was on EEI Afternoons this past Friday.
There's no question. Like, they believed and they let everybody know that's in with their, you know, their management group, that he'll be fine for week one. He'll be fine for week one. And then all of a sudden you got to maybe post Minnesota and those joint practices, and then it was like, I don't know, maybe this is lingering. And so, yeah, now we're at a point where hasn't practiced since July 28th. I don't know. You hope next Wednesday he's out to practice, but at this point I couldn't tell you whether he will be or not.
Get a soft tissue injury on the first day of training camp and see how the coach treats you after that. Mm-hmm. It ain't good. I've had it happen to me, and Belichick was disgusted with me for getting that injury. And that's just how coaches look at it. They think they're avoidable, that you could have done something more, you're not in good shape, and so which isn't always the case, but that's probably what Vrabel is thinking, and that's part of probably why he's frustrated.
And you were talking about it. It's such a finicky injury, too, because that you have to try and work your way back, and you have to try and stress it as you're working your way back, but you're never going 100%. And so as soon as you go 100%, it could just immediately all go wrong, and you set yourself back another five weeks.
Yep. Yeah, and we don't want to see that happen, obviously, with Gonzalez, but it is pretty frustrating to see this injury keep him out as long as it has. On the subject of injuries, on the offensive line, Morgan Moses was questionable going into this weekend. He is active today and will be starting at right tackle, which means you're only going to have two rookies on the offensive line of three of them. Marcus Bryant was going to be the next man up at right tackle if Moses couldn't play. You know, we talk a lot about protecting Drake May and the offensive line and the role they play in all of that this year as opposed to last year. I'd say it's a big victory, even though it may not seem like one, to have Moses out there.
Yeah, I wasn't seriously concerned that he wasn't going to play. I know he was listed as questionable. He is, though, the oldest guy on your roster, and you get a glimpse of the lack of depth behind him. We've talked about the concerns with the depth all over this roster, but especially with the offensive line, and I think that you are going to be fine this week and probably next week, too, but all 17 games, I wouldn't be shocked if you have three rookies out there at some point this season.
Well, that's a major concern we've had for a while. Like, he's older, coming off the knee injury. You should have had far more foresight to know that, okay, he may not make it 17 games. We may need a backup plan. And instead, your backup plan is a seventh-round rookie. Like, that, to me, is not great planning by the front office and Vrabel.
Now, it may be a rotation with Vadarian Lowe. So
that makes me feel that much more confident.
This is an important game for this unit, the Patriots offensive line, because I think the strength of Miami is their front seven, right? I mean, they got Chop Robinson, Zach Zeeler, Bradley Chubb, you know, Jalen Phillips, and then our old pal Matthew Judon was signed there a couple months ago. So the offensive line needs to play well if they're going to win this game.
Josh McDaniels believes that this team needs to run the ball more if they want to be successful on offense. I know that that's something that Schein was talking about and why he was upset at Josh McDaniels. Here's Josh.
They need the ball more. That's the best way to say it. So, like I said, I try to learn from each experience. I love the guys in that room. They work really hard. They can do a lot of different things. You know, and I thought they did some things, but, you know, the way the game ended up going really kind of got, we got, you know, sidetracked in the third quarter, and then, you know, the game changed a little bit. So, yeah, I can do a better job.
I can feel Shime's rage radiating off him.
Well, because
on top of
you needing to run the football
steam
more,
from a kettle,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, call me the teapot. You hear
his voice, and it just gives you
it
that.
Sets me off. Wow. Yeah, it's like it's like my dog. Anytime somebody walks by my house,
it's like me and Andy Hart.
Yes, exactly.
It's like me and Heim Bloom. When I hear Heim Bloom's voice,
and even worse too. It's like, can we not have Ramondre Stevenson out there for 65% of the snap to Travion Henderson's 35%. That needs to be at least 50-50, if not in favor of Travion Henderson.
No.
I watched the game.
No.
And Ramondre has been fine in his career. He's been a decent running back. He got overpaid. But, like, there's no burst there. There's no explosion. There's
I kept
no
waiting
threat.
For him to fumble, too. Every single time he got the ball, I kept waiting for the fumble
to come. But
you
didn't see one.
He did not.
Travion Henderson is so much better.
Says the guy with the Travion Henderson jersey.
True. Fair point. I'm not going to deny that.
Wearing it in the studio today.
There is a honky here, and it is me. Yep, I am a Travion Henderson honk. I know it. But, like, at the same time, you can't deny it. He looked way more explosive. 5.4 yards per carry compared to Ramondre Stevenson's 2.1 is a massive, massive difference.
I don't really care who's running the ball. They got to be able to block for the run and just call more. I agree with you with Josh McDaniels here that they have to run the ball more. That is my number one takeaway from last week and what they have to do differently this week.
But even if they're struggling to block, those holes, right, that they create are at least open for a minute amount of time. If the guy who's faster can hit the hole a little bit quicker, you should give it to the guy who's faster, especially when you're in your own territory. I get it, like, inside the red zone, you want to be a power team, power eye, whatever, and give the ball to the bigger back and Ramondre Stevenson, that's fine. But, like, Travion Henderson needs to touch the ball more.
Here's what I will say. I hear what you're saying. There's a dynamic piece to his game. I didn't like where they ran the ball. They ran inside to the left.
Toss left on third.
If it's
one.
Not working inside, then you do toss sweeps. You get them moving, and then you hit them up inside.
It's such a weird.
There was
combo.
No diversity in how they ran the ball. That was their biggest problem, as opposed to who was actually running the ball.
Do we want Drake May running the ball by design today?
Yes.
Yes. How much? Like, I mean, we're talking about how much we want these running backs to run. How much do you want to see Drake May?
Two to four times.
That's a great number. I was going to say three. So good.
Two
job.
To four times. That's
yeah.
it.
Like, he should have probably like three designed runs, three scrambles on a good day for Drake May. To me, that's the right number.
Something in the red zone makes sense
that,
to me.
Bro, that sounds
third
great.
Down, third Mecca, down,
I love that. QB keeper. Let's
a lot of
go.
Quarterback mm-hmm. touchdowns in week one. I'm just saying.
Yep.
There certainly were. There were definitely a lot of those, even just in the Bills-Ravens game. It seemed like there was a bunch of them in that one, too. Looking at the other inactives on the other side, Keon White's a guy who's starting to become, I think, a bit of a forgotten man here. I know that Chasen sort of stole his job,
on the
outside line there. White, again, is another pretty high draft second-round pick, right?
Yep,
so
second round.
We're talking about another recent draft pick that I thought I had high hopes for him in his rookie year. I thought that he had some real potential there, and it seems like he's kind of fading away a little bit.
Well, it seems like he was almost to a cut casualty. Like he,
yeah, almost.
Because
right.
remember those quotes that Mego, you and I talked about on
the
Saturday show?
He said he's just happy he has his job.
Yeah, he's just happy to have a job. And then, you know.
And he loved this coaching staff.
He has an actual coach.
The Keon White, right. Yes, he did say that to some degree. Keon White is a poor man's Jadeveon Clowney. And what do I mean by that? He's got stiff hips, and he's all power. He doesn't have elusiveness, ability to kind of turn the corner on and get to the quarterback. It's no bend. It's all just straight power, and you can't be a very good pass rusher when you're limited in your hip mobility like he is.
Stiff hips. I like that evaluation.
I suffer from stiff hips as well, so I get it.
I certainly have had that problem myself. With the inactives, the other one, and Tommy Curran mentioned this, Caden Wallace, another recent pretty high draft pick on the offensive line, an offensive line that doesn't really have a ton of answers or a ton of depth that I can really look at and feel good about, and yet this guy can't get a uniform. I mean, that's another tough look.
Yeah, I mean, the 2024 draft class, you have one active guy out there this week, Drake May.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
And it's hard to even give credit for the pick because at the time, there were like three quarterbacks everybody was really high on. He was the third one on the board. You picked third, boom, easy done.
You know, and we talk about how much they miss on wide receivers. They miss on offensive linemen
everyone.
All the time.
Almost just as much. They miss on everyone.
They're third, fourth, and fifth rounders, yeah. There's a lot of third, fourth, and fifth rounders, offensive linemen, that turn out to be more than serviceable linemen for a long time in this league, and they don't hit on any of them.
None.
It's almost as bad as the wide receivers.
Also, Armon Membu, who got drafted like two or three picks after Will Campbell, looked freaking awesome in
Did
week one,
really?
By the way. Yeah.
Missouri?
He was right tackle.
But he only played right tackle,
side,
though.
Man, he was balling.
A lot of people thought he was better than Will, but Will's a left Campbell. Mambu doesn't play left tackle, so.
Yeah, well, you could have signed a left tackle instead of signing Morgan Moses and had a stone-cold right tackle for the rest of your career, or for the next 10 years.
Glad you brought up Will Campbell, because his first game, I thought, was one that the eye test didn't necessarily back up with the advanced statistics.
Yeah.
And the hype, too, I think, was also part of it. But I watched the game where I thought he was really struggling out there, and then I see, you know, PFF and all these things. Actually, he was pretty good, which I always find myself tearing my hair out when I read through those things. But for a rookie, I mean, I don't know. I didn't think it was a terrible start. It wasn't Joe Alt, but it wasn't terrible.
I think the wheels came off kind of late.
Yeah.
But I thought that I'm more concerned on that side about Jared Wilson right now. Mm. I thought that he looked pretty green out there for his first game. I think Will Campbell, maybe just because we're all so hyper-focused on him that we don't look as much at Jared Wilson. But if you look back on some of that game tape, I think Jared Wilson looked a little overwhelmed.
But that's also the issue you get when you play two rookies next to each other. You just keep running stunts on that left side, and they're gonna have a tough time handling them constantly.
The left side of the line gave up a total of 10 pressures. Jared Wilson had 6. Will Campbell 4. And the right side of the line gave up 8. With Mike Onoueno giving up 3 pressures. And
Mike
Morgan
had
Moses,
a bad day.
Morgan Moses 5. So.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line isn't good. I mean, we've been kind of thinking about it and saying it now for months, and they're just
isn't that good. Better than last year,
maybe slightly. So instead of being 32, you're maybe like 29.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
They needed to be closer to 20. Yeah.
If they can get to 25, I think they'll be fine.
You needed to get closer to 20. Like that was the whole that's what you wanted out of the offense this year, right? You wanted to go from 30 to 20 was the ideal jump, and yet week one was not that.
53 dropbacks though. 53,
it's too many.
I mean, they did
for no reason.
Okay, you were. 53 dropbacks.
It was a one possession game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know.
And the only reason it wasn't a one possession game late in the fourth quarter is because you missed a field goal.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
And we haven't even mentioned the field goal kicking, but we can save that for another time. Chris Shime's going to get you caught up on what's trending, and when we come back, it'll be the second ever edition of the Top Ted List with Mego in the house as well. We'll throw some questions at Ted Johnson as we lead up into this game, Patriots and the Dolphins at 1 o'clock. Here's Shime.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Sean's and Star Market. Your New England Patriots kick off at 1 o'clock this afternoon down in Miami, and they take on Tua and the 0-1 Dolphins. Patriots inactives are as follows today. Christian Gonzalez, Keon White, the two we already knew about, Efton Chisholm, Caden Wallace, Eric Gregory, and your emergency quarterback, Tommy DeVito, all inactive today for the Patriots. Make sure to keep it locked right here on WEEI after the Patriots game for the Six Rings postgame show hosted by Hart and Fitzy. The Cowboys have made Tyler Smith the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the NFL with a 4-year extension worth $96 million. Full slate of action for you today. We got the Jaguars at the Bengals, Giants at Cowboys, Bears at Lions, Rams at Titans, 49ers at Saints, Bills at Jets, Seahawks at Steelers, and Browns at Ravens. In the 4 o'clock window, there's only three games. Broncos at Colts, Panthers at Cardinals, and the big one today, basically a primetime game in the middle of the afternoon for you, a rematch of last year's Super Bowl as the Eagles head to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs, which you can catch over on AM 850. Sunday Night Football tonight, Falcons and Michael Penix head to Minnesota to take on J.J. McCarthy and the 1-0 Minnesota Vikings. You can catch that game on AM 850 as well with kickoff at 8:20 tonight. Boston College fell to Stanford last night as Billy O and the Eagles went scoreless in the second half. Final score of that one, 30-20. In non-football news, the Boston Red Sox lost to the New York Yankees last night 5-3. Brian Bello went five innings, allowing four runs on five hits, including a Jazz Chisholm home run in the fifth. Sox try to salvage the series this evening on Sunday Night Baseball with the pig on the mound, Garrett Crochet. First pitch 7 p.m. right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewards. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game for you. Make sure to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 6:10 with Joe Weil. Today is the day. It's the Shaw's and Star Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes game for our 10 lucky finalists. If our hometown team hits a Grand Slam during the game, our finalists will win groceries. Free groceries for a year from Shaw's and Star Market. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, for the top 10 list today, Mego's here. That's nice. So we'll have her contributing to this as well.
This feels passive aggressive.
Shine, Mego, and I. Yeah. Well, Mego's very important. She has to leave most of the time.
Sensing some passive aggression.
Go cover the game, and that leaves us to have to do this in our in your absence, Mego. That's all I'm saying. But not today. Today you're here, and today we're going to get started with the top 10 list. And I'm going to go ahead and start with from the Tennessee Georgia game.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo was spotted out there. Mm-hmm. Former Patriots coach Jerod Mayo. Is he ever going to coach again?
Nope. And I said that a long time ago. I never, ever got the sense that Jerod Mayo ever really wanted to be a coach. Like, it just, it felt like, you know, Belichick reached out to him to be a linebackers coach, and he agreed to do that. And then he was angling for the head coaching job from the very, very beginning. And it just, he didn't ever strike me as a guy that really wanted to get into coaching. He just wanted to be the head coach of the New England Patriots if the job was available to him, and it was, and so he did. So, no, I don't see him ever coaching. He doesn't have it in his blood. You got to be, it's got to be in your blood to be a head coach, and it's just, it's never struck me as a guy that where coaching's in his blood.
Speaking of coaching, if you could, would you swap Josh McDaniels for Mike McDaniel?
You know what?
Your play caller.
I probably would. Yeah, I probably would. Yeah.
Love that.
I just think Mike's a forward-thinking, kind of aggressive offensive coordinator. I think he's got a great offensive mind. I do. And so I've seen him have put great game plans together against the Patriots. And part of it is maybe I've seen the success that, you know, Tua's had against the Patriots defense. I mean, he's tore them up in the last three games, like eight touchdowns. Like over 70% completion percentage, only one interception in the last three games. I think Mike McDaniels can coach his ass off as an offensive coordinator, but Josh McDaniels, I don't want him around being my head coach.
Totally agree.
All right, mine goes more towards Miami, and it's just this simple. Why are the Patriots so bad in Miami?
It's the heat. That simple. I'm looking at a tweet from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's basically got a picture of the stadium there in Miami where the entire sidelines for the visiting team is exposed to the sun, and the home team, the Miami Dolphins, is all shaded. And that's how the game is going to be for the first half. The Patriots are in their dark uniform. It is so hot down there. It, you know, Matt Collins, your interview, you asked him about the heat down there. He goes, well, I'm from there.
He said he loves it.
You know what? Okay, but you haven't been there for a while, right? So you got to get acclimated to the heat. And even then, it's hard. I just think the heat is always the number one factor. It's just you cannot prepare for the humidity up here and then go down there and expect just to play great.
Quick follow-up on this. This is not an official question. But at what point in a game like today does the heat really start to take its toll on you?
The worst game I've ever played in was in Miami, opening game, 1996. And if the Miami Dolphins were smart, they'd always have a great running game because they would just keep the time of possession, dominate time of possession.
Wear you down.
Wear your ass down. I took two IVs in that game because they averaged like 3.5 carries on like 40 attempts.
Jeez,
and it was we
damn.
Couldn't get off the field. And so if Miami just runs the ball with concerted effort in the first half, you can really wear down that defense.
All right, back to me, Teddy. This is a bit of a cheating one here. I'm asking you two questions at once. You were drafted in 1995.
This is easy.
Since then, and you can't count your own draft, what was the best Patriots draft and what was the worst Patriots draft?
What's the best draft of all time for the Patriots?
I just said you can't count your own draft.
Why not?
Because that's the one you'd obviously just pick.
Yeah.
Since your draft, since after that, what do you consider
what was
the best
one? The 96 draft was pretty damn good.
96 was good, yes.
Very, very good. So, with Terry Glenn,
Lawyer
Malloy,
Brewski.
And Teddy Bruschi.
Yep.
That's pretty good. That's probably what I would say is my best. And then the worst, I mean, you can look at the 1997 draft was pretty pathetic. Chris Canty, Brandon Mitchell, Cedric Shaw, Chris Carter, any of those names ring a bell? And then you got the 2017 draft where they only drafted four players, Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dietrich Wise, and Connor McDermott. Mm. Or you got the 2019
draft. Any of the last five?
The last decade?
That Chris Canty isn't the same Chris Canty that played for like 12 years, right?
No.
Different
one?
Chris Canty.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
You're thinking of the D-lineman from the Cowboys.
Yes,
the
correct. Yeah.
So the best class, I'll say 96, and then the worst class, 97, 2017, 2019.
So, like Arcan, I'm going to cheat a little bit different here. It's trivia time with Teddy Johnson.
Ooh.
When was the last time the Miami Dolphins won a playoff game, and who was the quarterback?
Oh, God. Was it 2008?
Earlier.
2006?
It was the year 2000, and Jay Fiedler was the quarterback.
Jay Fiedler, my man, yeah. Yeah, wow. Is it really?
Yes, the last time the Miami Dolphins won a playoff game was the year 2000 with Jay Fiedler quarterback. They beat the Indianapolis Colts.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Just a real side note, Miami, part of their – Chris Greer is the general manager there. He's been there. He's been a scout since 2000.
Yep.
He became general manager in 2016, and it's kind of a – I think part of their problem, I just think Greer's, I love his dad, Bobby, great guy. But I think part of the problem is I think they don't have good leadership with Chris Greer. But the owner loves Chris Greer, and so they keep him around. And I think
Miami's Dolphins owner.
Yeah, that guy.
It's tough because he has also struggled in some draft classes. He has missed on quite a few picks, especially on the offensive line.
Yeah, big time.
We talk a lot.
Number five.
We talk a lot about Tyreek Hill's speed. Who is the fastest guy you can recall ever playing with?
Playing with, and there's two guys. This is two guys I played with that physically, from a skill and set, they were different than the rest of us. They were on a different plane, and it looked easy to them. Football looked easy to them. And can you think of the receiver that I played with that might fit that bill?
I'm not even going to guess. Just tell
I just
me.
Mentioned he was in that 96 draft class, Terry Glenn. And Terry Glenn was the smoothest, best, most polished, fastest wide receiver I've ever played with.
Wow.
That was Terry Glenn. So his rookie year was his most productive, ironically, where he had 90 catches the year that Parcells called him she.
Oh, which, yeah, right.
Bill Parcells is going to be here next weekend. I'm looking forward to that.
I hate people who are beautiful runners.
Why?
You know, because it's
are
just like,
runner?
It's like, kind of. I think so.
Yeah,
I run with my mouth open, which is bad. Yeah. Like, you know, like a dog.
Like a horse.
Yeah, like a horse.
It's like he's not even trying hard, and he's moving faster than all of us. Crazy.
He's gliding.
Number four.
Ted Johnson, what's your favorite thing to do in Miami when you're there?
So it is two things. I love to play golf when I'm down there. PGA National is a great is a great golf resort down there, right outside of Miami. And then, you know what? I feel out of place down there in Miami. A lot of Latin. You know, I'm a big kind of middle, you know, I don't know, mid-American farm boy looking guy. Mm-hmm. I stick out like a sore thumb. So, but I like to people watch. So the Delano, Fontainebleau, right? You go to those those resorts and those pools. The pool scenes are pretty fun.
Nice.
South Beach is a good time, huh? You know,
fun. But that's the Sinatra Hotel, right?
That is.
Yeah.
So cool.
That's
some,
where Liv is.
There's some great boutique hotels down there where the pool scenes are just a lot of fun. So golf and then hang out by the pool.
All right, Ted.
Number three.
It's time for some fashion Ted questions. If you took the names off the jerseys, how do we feel about the Dolphins jersey colors and appearance, and what is the most aesthetically pleasing NFL jersey?
You know what? I didn't like the orange. We played the Dolphins when they were in the orange jerseys in 2004. Didn't like those. I do like the aqua. I mean,
they're
to me,
so
they're
nice.
They're beautiful, man. I love them.
Such a good color.
You ever see a house painted like that?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Oh, man. It's
so
great.
Good.
Really? Like an aqua?
Yeah, it's looking good.
Painted in aqua?
Yeah,
aqua.
With a nice white
an
trim.
Aqua blue house. Yeah.
I can only picture that in, like, the Florida Keys.
It's, right. But I think it would be cool in the Florida Keys,
oh, it'd be
right?
Perfect.
Interesting.
Fit right in.
I have to say. You know what? Favorite jerseys? I like the Texans.
Okay.
I like the Broncos. I've always been a big fan of the Broncos.
I love
which
the Broncos.
Incarnation of the Broncos?
The all orange ones,
the orange,
updated
orange
versions
crush, yeah.
Look awesome.
Yeah, I do love those. My favorite jersey, though, all time is I'm from Houston, the Oilers. Yeah.
Nice.
The Love You Blue Oilers jerseys.
Great choice.
Those are my favorite.
I think my favorite all time is the Powder Blue Chargers, so I'm with you.
Powder Blues
I get
are
it.
Great, too, man.
Number two.
All right, I'll take this one. Would you rather play in 100 degree Miami weather? Or -5 degree northern cold up here?
Easiest question to answer. Give me the cold all day, every day. I played at Colorado, right, where it could be hot sometimes. You know, it'd be, you could, right? It could snow the night before, and the next day, 16 sunny. But give me the cold weather all day. I do not play as well in that heat. So I thank God a cold team recruited me or drafted me, you know, for the Patriots. So give me the cold all day. The coldest game I ever played in. If you ever, for fun, you just want to Google 1991 Colorado versus Iowa State, you will not believe what you see. It is unbelievable.
That was the blizzard, right? The ice storm?
It was.
Yeah.
It was a blizzard. There's 200 people at the stadium. 200 people at the stadium. Nobody was there. It was an empty stadium. We played that game, which I didn't think we would, but you know, a lot of people think that Tennessee playoff game was the coldest. It wasn't as cold as that Colorado versus Iowa State 1991 game in Ames, Iowa.
All right.
Number one.
Last question here, Ted. Who is your least favorite Dolphin to play against?
You know, probably Marino. Just, you know, Dan was, he was amazing. I mean, though, I do have probably the most sacks I've ever had against him because we.
Sounds like he's your favorite one to play against.
Well, I love to play against him, but I hated to, because he could, you know, he was just, he was a magician. But
Sam Marino?
So we actually had we have Ty Law on every Tuesday on the Greg Hill Show, and it came out he was on right around the same time that Tom Brady had the quote where he said Aaron Rodgers was like the best pure thrower of the football. Mm-hmm. Wiggy and Ty strongly disagreed and said it was Dan Marino. How do you feel about that?
I would tend to agree with my teammates. Yeah, I think Dan Marino was, you talk about a right arm, a bullet for a right arm, and I just thought he was a killer, man. He was the toughest Miami Dolphin I had to play against.
Can I go back to the cold question really quick?
Sure.
What do you do with your hands when it's that cold?
Yeah, you know what you put latex.
No, seriously. Yeah, do you do the surgeon gloves?
Yeah, you do the latex gloves.
That's what we used to do in college.
And then
under
you
our
put the gloves over the latex, and that gives it a little bit. Your hands can get sweaty, but the latex keeps the heat and the sweat kind of your hands warm. And then you know what? Screw it. I didn't care. I put one of the hand warmers. Around my waist.
Oh, like
so,
a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So, and then when the play would come, I'd just flip it around my waist so it was in the back of me.
Did you toss any of those puppies in your cleats, too? Keep your feet warm?
I didn't
keep the tootsies
do that.
Warm?
I didn't do that. But what you got to do is you got to make there's a little bit of space in your toes and your socks so that there's a little bit of, you can move your toes. If you can't move your toes, then it's makes it even worse. Your feet are the problems that the worst thing to keep warm when you're in a cold weather game.
I screwed this up. I should add this as my last question. We'll do one more bonus question here, Ted, since you're
bonus!
Drake May or Tua?
It's Drake May.
Yeah.
Because of the potential I see in the kid. I think he's got special.
Drake May or Tua for one game?
For one game right now?
Yeah.
Tua.
Okay.
Yeah,
for one game right now.
Like as a pride going forward, you'd say. I mean, yeah, Drake's younger. It makes sense. He hasn't had five concussions either. He's only had like two of them. So
yeah, I also think he's just more talented. What Tua does, Tua is in a system that enhances everything he does well as high as they possibly can, and they still can't win playoff games. Whereas, like, if Drake May was in an offense that did all the same things that they,
I love
like,
this
the way
Shime.
In which they cater to Tua, Shime, he would be tremendous.
There's no responsibility on any NFL quarterback in Shime's
book.
There
is.
It's all about the system that they're operating.
No, I think that's a huge part. If you had taken Drake May and stuck him with the Minnesota Vikings, he would have been way better than J.J. McCarthy was on Monday night. Like, way better.
That's
because you're on a 14-3 team with arguably the best play caller in football at the moment, or the best guy working with quarterbacks at the moment, and you have Justin Jefferson to throw the football to. Yeah, I would take that all day.
Is Justin Jefferson going to be 7 feet tall so that he can catch Drake May's pass up there?
Doesn't have to. He's going to be wide open. Drake May can just lob it up.
Go up and get it. All right, Teddy, beat it. Get out of here.
Okay, guys.
All
right, see you.
Have a go with Ted Johnson. He's going to be out on TV doing his big TV thing as we finish up here. We are going to come back with a look at the AFC East. We're going to make some picks, some predictions, and some props. And Mego's going to be here to shake her head disapprovingly at
mediate.
Us as we get real degenerate here in the final segment of WEEI Football Sunday.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
That's coming up next. It's Football Sunday here, WEEI, Christian Arkand, Mego, and Shime. Teddy had to go. We got dancehall DJ Ken Laird in the background there, which is pretty cool.
Loves himself some Luis Fonsi.
Yeah, is that what this is?
Yeah, it's Despacito.
Oh, this is Despacito, right. Yeah. I forgot who sings this song.
Arkand only recognizes when Justin Bieber's at the top.
Yeah.
That's Luis Fonsi actually has some bangers to his credit.
This is a banger. This is absolutely
a great song.
No Me Doy Por Vencido is tremendous.
Is he from Miami? Is that why this is being played right now?
It's a great question. I don't know. I believe he's from actually Puerto Rico.
Oh, from Puerto Rico? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way. It captures the vibe, I would say. The Patriots in Miami about to take on the Dolphins here in what is a very important game for both teams. For the Patriots, this is a Dolphins team that appears to be in disarray. If you can't beat this Dolphins team, the question is going to arise, well, who can you beat? If they lose this game, that's going to be the question going forward. If they can't beat this Dolphins team who is in shambles, then who are they going to beat this year? And that's a reasonable question for the Dolphins. They have a plane with a message behind it flying around Hard Rock Stadium saying, fire the coach and fire the GM.
Yeah, isn't that like protected airspace? How did somebody get that up there?
I don't think so. I think people do that a lot. They did it. Gillette before. What was the message for Gillette? It was something about Tom Brady, right? Didn't some Giants fan rent a plane and say like Brady's a cheater or something like that? Am I crazy?
I would be shocked.
Am I imagining that? I feel like that happened, but either way, it's not that uncommon. Maybe it's uncommon that because like at Miami Beach, you always see the planes flying around saying, go to this club. And
I've seen a message cent. From
yeah,
a
we had
plane
a Greg
before.
Hill, we had a Greg Hill show fly over when we did our road show up in Gloucester.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
Nice
what did that one say?
There. Just said Greg Hill show with a bunch of exclamation points.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Without any further ado, Chris Scheim and I love. hello there.
Hello, Luis Fonsi.
Chris Scheim and I, we love betting on football, and Mego's here to try and keep us in line with
you
today's picks.
Guys are degens.
Yeah.
Super degenerates. Where else are we going to start? But in our 1 p.m. slate, the return of Mac Jones. As a starting quarterback, you have the 49ers at the Saints today at 1 p.m. I'll start with you, Shime.
Yeah, I am taking the Saints plus the points here. Give me the Saints plus three. Mac Jones is officially back, and the most profitable bet in sports is back. Give me Mac Jones to throw a pick, and you get that at minus like 115. It's the best bet there is.
I love the Mac Jones interception play. I'm going to be doing that for sure, but I think I like San Francisco here, and it's just because New Orleans is so bad and Rattler's so bad. I did not like what I saw from them at all against Arizona last week. I kind of liked it because I picked Arizona, but like in terms of, you know, watching that team and what they're trying to accomplish, they have players, you know, it's not like they don't have players on the offense, but they just can't put it together. So I like the Niners here to cover the 3.5.
All right. In the division, you have the Bills at the Jets. The Jets are an interesting team all of a sudden after what they showed
they
last
are.
Week.
Yeah, two high-powered offenses, it feels like, after what you saw in week one. I love the over in this game the most. If you're going to make me take a side, I might actually take the Jets plus the points. It's just a touchdown's a lot of points here. I believe that what they're doing with Fields and Breece Hall is going to work here. Garrett Wilson looked great in week one. Hate me for it, but I don't hate the Jets. Give me the plus six. Give me the points.
I'm with you on this one, and so is the Sharps, too, because if you're chasing the steam here, then 53% of the bets are on Buffalo, 63% of the money's on the Jets.
Wow.
I'm with the money. So, yeah, that's a big one for a division game.
Massive.
Laying a touchdown, that's way too much.
Especially in New Jersey, but
right.
Jets home game here. So, I like the Jets in the points.
Patriots are going to host the Steelers next week, but first, the Seahawks go to Pittsburgh at 1 p.m.
Yeah, I was torn on this game. I tend to like the under in this game, but I'll go with the Steelers. Laying the 3.5, the hook's there. It's a tough one, but I thought Aaron Rodgers looked really good. I think what him and Arthur Smith want to do is just get it to the open receiver and then feed DK Metcalf when they can. It's very similar to what he used to do with Devontae and the rest of the Green Bay receivers. I think they're finding something good there in Pittsburgh. Give me the Steelers.
I don't like agreeing with Shime this much, but I like the Steelers here too. I'm not a big fan of Seattle this year. I think that they're a team that's trying to figure it out and put it together. I didn't like what I saw from some of their new players, and I think that Pittsburgh is just a stronger, more reliable team. So, yeah, three is an easy one, I think.
If you're looking for a Seahawks bet, though, I do like Charbonnet to score a touchdown today.
Okay.
Shime, the more that you work with Arcan, the more do you feel the, like, little digs that he slips in there? I don't like
Mego.
Agreeing with Shime as much
Mego,
as I have.
I work on the morning show. I notice every dig known to man. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping score. Finally, the last one in the 1 p.m. slate is the Rams at the Titans.
Yeah, I'll take the Rams. I don't love this game. I'll probably stay away from it for the most part, but they're just the better football team. Defensively, they're more like the Broncos, not quite the same, but I think they'll hold Tennessee very much in check. I don't think Tennessee is terrible. I think Cam Ward might be okay, but it's just they're just not up to the same quality as the Rams.
The Titans have a pretty good defense, pretty good interior defensive line. The Rams are having problems on their offensive line right now. Two of their guards are out, I believe, and that I think could maybe make this game closer than it could be, but closer than it could be in this matchup, I think, is like less than two scores. So I think I also like the Rams here, too. I can't believe this is happening. This is not very fun if we're just going to agree on everything.
It's okay.
Maybe you guys
could share your opinions before you go on.
We
air.
Could do that, I suppose.
Yeah, but that takes all the joy and the surprise out of it.
Okay, right. We have two games at 4:05. First one is the Panthers at the Cardinals. This is a flush it away game. I don't want to watch that game at all.
Yeah, it's the Cardinals. It's the Cardinals all day. I am going to be betting more so than the laying the 7 points with the Cardinals, which is what it is now. I will be betting on both the Cardinals running backs to have good days. James Conner and Trey Benson. This Panthers run defense is even worse than I remember. So I will be betting on the Arizona running backs, but also I'll just lay the 7 with the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's that type of matchup, I think. I picked Arizona to win the NFC West, so I certainly would feel stupid if I didn't think they could beat Carolina. However, the money and the bet percentage is not agreeing with us. If you look at the steam here, you get 67% of the bets going to Carolina and 57% of the money. So
interesting.
It seems like everybody likes Carolina to cover that line. It's not it is kind of a big line for the Cardinals, but I think they're capable of very easily covering it.
Also,
Mego,
I hate to tell you how to do your job. Mm. Couple games in the 1 o'clock slate I think we missed.
Oh,
yeah, we did miss it.
Sorry.
We skipped Jacksonville, Cincinnati.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Giants,
you know what?
Dallas,
I scrolled
Chicago,
down too
Detroit.
Far. I got so excited about that.
Cleveland, Baltimore,
okay.
Too.
Let me go back up to the 1 p.m. Of course, you have the Browns at the Ravens.
Yeah, this spread is huge. I don't like the number. If you're going to make me pick it, I'll take the Ravens just because I think that they're that much better than the Browns. But the real bet I love is Derrick Henry over 100 yards. That's my slam dunk lock of the week. Love it, love it, love it.
100 yards, yeah, I'd take that one too. But I'll disagree with you on this one. It is a division game. It's Cleveland. They have a tough defense. Baltimore, I think, after that big Buffalo letdown, maybe not in disarray or anything like that, but maybe not quite ready for what Cleveland has for him. It's also Joe Flacco's first game against Baltimore in Baltimore, I think, since he left there. So that could be an emotional boost for Cleveland, too. At the very least, 13 points is a hell of a lot. And so I'll go with Cleveland plus 12.5.
Okay, staying in the 1 p.m. hour for a couple more of these games, Jacksonville at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't know what to make. I don't know what to make of Jacksonville just because they played the Panthers last week. I don't know if they're actually good or they just played a really bad Panthers team. I'll lay the 3.5 with the Bengals. I don't feel great about it. I do feel good, though, that the Bengals will figure out their offense one way or another. They always look bad in week one. I'll take the Bengals today against the Jaguars.
I am going to watch as Travis Hunter takes over as the number one wide receiver in the AFC over Jamar Chase today.
Keep dreaming, brother.
And I am going to go with Jacksonville to cover that. I don't like Cincinnati very much this year. I think that they're still figuring things out. They're a slow starting team. And I'm not saying that Jags are going to win the game here, but I think they can get within a field goal.
Okay, guys, let's move this along a little bit more quickly now because we got a couple to get through. We got the Giants at the Cowboys.
Yeah, lay the 4.5 with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott is like 15-1 against the Giants.
Yeah, this is one I think I'm going to go back to agreeing on. Watching the Giants and Russell Wilson, that was a disaster in week one. Dallas didn't look great either, but they look better than the Giants. It's a division game, so it may end up being close, but I think they can cover that 4.5.
Okay, this is going to be a Shimehouse divided because I think he loves both these teams. Bears at the Lions.
I will take the Lions here. I think it is a bigger game for the Lions. Dan Campbell needs to make a statement that he lost all his coordinators, but it shouldn't matter. So I will take the Lions laying the points.
All the money's on the Lions. I'm with them, too. It's like 88%, I think, is on the Lions minus 6. And the bet percentage is pretty split. So that means the Sharps like Detroit. So do I.
We're saving your Patriots game for last. So let's go back to 405. Broncos at Colts.
Yeah, I'll take the Broncos. Daniel Jones needs to prove it to me against a team that's not Miami. I will take the Broncos all day.
Yeah, I like the Broncos here, too. I think the Colts are going to make it close, but the line's too small to really go more than just a winner, so I'll go with Denver, too.
Biggest game of the day in my book, Eagles at Chiefs Super Bowl rematch.
Mego, I got two words for you. Go Birds. That's it.
E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles!
Eagles all day.
What did you have, 1 or 1.5?
1.5.
1.5? Give me the Chiefs.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if I really believe what I'm saying here, but I think the Chiefs, they get up for games like this. It's at Arrowhead. I think they can win this
Betting
game.
On Mahomes as an underdog is profitable.
Okay, yeah, rapid fire here. Falcons at Vikings.
I love Michael Penis Jr. Give me the Falcons plus 3.5. That's what it said. That's what it said on that news report one time when they were interviewing him. That's
remember
not my
that,
fault.
Sure. Give me the Vikings.
Okay. Monday night, Bucks at Texans.
Give me the Bucks. Love the Bucks as a dog here. I think the Texans' offensive line is probably the worst in football.
Bounce back for Houston. Give me them.
And finally, Chargers at Raiders.
Chargers might be the best team in football after this week. They were awesome against the Chiefs. Justin Herbert is a star. He's in his Madison Beer era. Give me the Chargers.
I like the Chargers here as well. So does the money, 71%. I don't see any reason to go against that in a 3-point spread. I know it's a division game, but the Raiders aren't very good.
What do you guys think for our game? Patriots at Dolphins in moist Miami.
Yeah, so it's currently 1.5. It's been bouncing around between 0.5 and 2.5 all week. I will take the Patriots as dogs in this game. Dogs in the matchups of 2-0-1 teams in week two are very good against the spread. I want to say they win like 65% of the time. I will take the Patriots as underdogs in this game.
You know what? The money agrees with you there. About 2/3 of the money is going to New England with only 47% of the bets, but I think they're wrong. I'm going with the Dolphins here. I think they continue to beat the Patriots down in Miami. I don't think they're going to be good, but this could be one of their get-right games. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at them, and I don't think the Patriots can handle that.
All right. Well, there's all your degenerate gambling advice. I'll just say for my prediction for this game, I think it's going to be 2017 Patriots.
2017. I like it.
Okay. You got a score?
Yeah. Give me 24-16 Pats.
Okay. I'm going to say 27-13 Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm going with. I don't think it's going to be a good showing. All right. That's
great
all
job, guys.
The time we have here today. Stick around. You got football all day on here as well as on our sister station AM. And, of course, we'll have the Six Rings postgame show later on. That'll lead right into Red Sox baseball with the Yankees. So keep it here on WEEI all day and night. I'm Christian Arcan for Meg O'Shime and Teddy. We're out of here. Enjoy the football, everybody.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.